Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kuf Mem Hey. We left off at daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the page at the Mishnah in the middle of the page. Now, just al derech hakdamah to this Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to talk about the concept of Shushvinus. We're not so familiar with the concept of Shushvinus because we don't do it anymore, but the concept of Shushvinus is that when somebody is celebrating a wedding, so well, this part we do, his friends go along with him and they celebrate together with him and they bring gifts and whatever else. However, that's not where it ends, right? In our world, that's where it ends. But the concept of Shushvinus is that if somebody came to my wedding and brought gifts, I'm obligated to go to his wedding, celebrate with him, and also bring money or whatever to his wedding. So if he brought money to me, I got to bring money to him. It's a chov. It's not something that's, you know, if I want to do, if I don't want to do. I'm actually obligated in Beis Din. If I don't do it, I have to go bring money to his wedding as well. That's the concept of Shushvinus. So says the Mishnah, Ha'achin sha'asum mitzasun shushvinus b'chayi av, chazu shushvinus chazu la'emtsa, sha'shushvinus nigvus b'beizdin. We're talking about a case where the father sent one of his children to be mesameach a chasan, and he sent him with a gift, because that's what shushvinim do, to go celebrate with him, and he goes and he eats with him, and now this guy has to pay back the person who came to celebrate with him. The only thing is, over here, the person who came to celebrate with him came representing his father. He came representing his family. The father sent one of his children. He has many children. He decided to send one of the children to go and to celebrate with this chassan. So when the chassan pays back, the question is, who does the chassan pay back to? The fellow that came to celebrate with him as an individual, or the whole family as a whole, right? The father's now dead, so he doesn't pay back the father, so who does he pay back to? So that's what the Mishnah says, Chazur Shushvinus, it's Chazur Li Emtsa, that it gets split amongst all the brothers. And why? Because Shushvinus is considered like a chov, and it's collected in Beis Din, and therefore it's going to be considered like any other chov that the father had that's collectible by his Yarshim, but it gets split up by the Yarshim. But if someone sends to his friend, instead of sending him shushvinus, he sends him jugs of wine or jugs of oil, that's not collectible in Beis Din. That's just being nice. That's gemilas chasadim. We don't assume that's part of a shushvinus. Now Rashbam adds in, very important, avol shalech lechaveru below chuppah. Stam. I send you wine and oil. There's nothing to do with the wedding. You're not getting married. So then it's not going to have a din of shushvinus, right? In this day in the Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like if you send wine and oil to the wedding, so then it does have a din of shushvinus. But if you're sending wine and oil stam to a friend, then it would not have a din of shushvinus. But then the Rosh Hashanah says, inami b'chupaso ve'eno holich lech l'sham l'smachim b'chupaso. Maybe you are sending it to his wedding, but you're not going along with the gift. You're just sending the gift. The din of shushvinus is when you go, you celebrate, you bring stuff. When you only send something but you don't go, then it would not have a din of shushvinus. The Rambam is mefarish that we're speaking about a case where you send kadi yayin and kadi shemen and peros at the time of the nisuin, and they're not collected in Beis Din, because dini shushvinus is only on money and things like money, not kadi yayin kadi shemen. Similarly, the Rama writes that dafka when you send kesef o zahav o begadim, but not when you send yayin v'shemen. Whenever you're sending food, that would not have a din of shushvinus. So essentially, what we have is three opinions of what's going on in this last line of the Mishnah, where these kadei yayin and kadei shemen don't have a din of shushvinus. The first day in the Rashbam is, it doesn't have a din of shushvinus because there's no wedding going on. The second day in the Rashbam is, there is a wedding. It doesn't have a din of shushvinus because you're not attending the wedding. And the third day is the Shittas Rambam, and the Yad Ramah is that it doesn't have a din of shushvinus because it's not the right stuff. You're supposed to send money for shushvinus, and Yad Ramah adds even perhaps begadim, but sending wine and oil is not shushvinus. That's why it would not have a din of shushvinus. Fine, says the Gemara. Uriminhi shalach lo aviv shushvinus kishi chazeres lo. That if his father sends shushvinus, so when it goes back to him. Says Rosh Bam, chazeres lo to who? Lo oso aben. to the son who actually went to celebrate the wedding. V'lola emtza, it doesn't get split amongst all the brothers, k'diktani masnisin, like our Mishnah would have you believe. V'kashal masnisin, desfir le'la haitana, dekimin d'sholach ha'av al yad zeh ha'ben, chafetz hu shalol levado, yachzir shushvinus v'lo l'shar banav. This price apparently holds, unlike our Mishnah, that if the father chose a child to go and to be the shushvinim by somebody else's wedding, it's not just stam that the father chose a random child and he wants the payback to go to all of his children. No, he chose the child who he wants the payback to go to. He chose the child who he's going to hope this chassan will reciprocate to. And that's why he chose this child. So it's dafka to this guy. So it's a kasha in our Mishnah. Right, so when it was the Shushvinus was sent to the father, we're going to explain exactly what this means. Then it's Chazeres la'emtsa. But the point is that when the father sends Shushvinus through his son to somebody else, it sounds like that only that son gets the Shushvinus. So Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kitna Nami Masnis Nishtalcha Le Aviv Tanan. So says the Gemara, Enochinami, when our Mishnah says that the Shushvinus goes to the Emsa and doesn't go only to that one child, it's talking about a case of Nishtalcha Le Aviv. Look at the Rashbam on the first very wide line toward the end. Masnisin Bistam, Shashalach Stam Ali De Echon Ribanav. The Mishnah is talking about Stam, a case where the father sent one of the children and he never explained that he's sending it dafka for this child that he's sending. And that's why it gets split amongst all the children. But in the Brisa he says, look, I'm dafka sending this child. He makes a big deal out of the fact that he chose one of his children to be the shushvinim, to be the one who's gonna bring the shushvinus. Hilka chazeres lo, and therefore the shushvinus goes back dafka to that child. Veinu chazeres laemtza. So why does our Mishnah say it's chazeres laemtza? Because the Mishnah is talking about a case where he chose a child at random, but he did not specifically single out that one child. Frek the Gemara, va'achin sha'asu miktsasun shushvinus katani. How can you make such an akimta? The Mishnah says, Achin sha'asu miktsasun shushvinus. I'm sorry, I read the wrong part of the Gemara. I apologize. That Rashbam is going on the next answer of the Gemara. What we're assuming now with the Chilik is whether the father sends the Shushvinus or the Shushvinus was sent to the father. That's the first answer of the Gemara. Again, Amar Rabasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kitna Nami Asnisim Nishtalcha Li Aviv Tanan. That when it's Nishtalcha Li Aviv, that's where we're going to assume that it's Chazeres La'emsa. Meaning Chazeres Emsa means it's Chazeres Min Ha'emsa. Let's say again. The Chilik is as follows. In our Brisa, where we say that it all goes back to one child, is where the father singles out one child. Yaakov says, Reuven, you go, you're going to be the Shushvinim. So then when it gets reciprocated dafka back to Reuven, because he was the one that was singled out. In the Mishnah, when we say that it goes to Emsa, we're talking about a case where the father owed Shushvinus to somebody, and now the father is dead. So we want to know who pays for that Shushvinus. And the answer is, it gets paid from the Emtza, it gets paid from the middle. That's the answer of the Gemara. So frek the Gemara, but wait a second. How can you say that the case of our Mishnah is where the father's paying back Shushvinus to somebody else? Va'achin shasu miktsasun Shushvinus kadani. It says, Achin shasu miktsasun Shushvinus, that some of the children are the Shushvinim. So how can you say that it's referring to paying back the Shushvinus to somebody else? So answers the Gemara, Tini limiktsasun. No, it means, Achin, that some of them had Shushvinus given to them, and now Shushvinus is owed back. Aiva Chazra Shushvinus Katani, but it says Chazra Shushvinus. Doesn't that imply that it's going back from the other person to the father? So answers Gemara Hachikamar. Chazra Ligvos Nigvos Be'emsa. If it's going to be collected, Chazra means to be collected again, then it's collected from the middle, meaning it's collected from all the brothers collectively. Rabbi Asi says a different answer. The different answer that he says is the one that I read before in the Rashbam. Rabbi Asi Amar Lo Kasha. Kan bistam, kan bimifaresh. No, both the Braisa and the Mishnah are talking about where the father had sent one child to do Shoshvinus for somebody else, and now he's owed back. The father's dead, so who is owed back that Shoshvinus? Is it that individual child, or is it everybody? So the Mishnah says it's everybody, because the Mishnah was talking about a case where the father didn't single out that child. The Braisa assumes it's only that individual child, because the Braisa is talking about that he did single out that child. Kidetanya, Shalach lo av Shushvinus kshi chazeres, chazeres lo. Like we learned in a brisa, if his father sends Shushvinus, when it goes back dafka to him, if the father sends for him as the Shushvinim. Shalach aviv Shushvinus stam, but if the father stam sends Shushvinus, and this one child happens to be the one who went to represent the father, but he wasn't specifically chosen, then kshi chazeres, chazeres laem. So when the Shushvinus comes back, right, it comes back and is split by all of the brothers, because there was nothing special about this one brother who happened to have been the one representing his family. Ushmul amar, Shmuel respond, hacha b'yavam askinan, sheina notal b'roi k'b'muchsak. That over here we're dealing with a yavam who does not get b'roi k'b'muchsak. Meaning, look at Rashbam in the fifth wide line, Ushmul amar li'olam k'diktani b'raisa. Really, it's like the b'raisa says, da'ava sholech shushvinus la'yarechem mi'banav chazeres l'sa ben levado. The b'raisa is correct. If you send one son as the Shushvinim, then that son is the only one who the Chassan has to reciprocate to when he becomes a Chassan. Umas nisin de katani chazeres la'emtza. Ay, what do we do with our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that when you reciprocate to all of the children evenly? Hani mili shemesa ben shenishtal chushvinus al yado. Now that's talking about where the one that you're supposed to reciprocate to is dead. The son that you're supposed to reciprocate to died. You want to reciprocate dafka to him, because that's the only one you have to, but he's dead. One of the other brothers did yibum. So, and the Torah says that this brother that does yibum is now replacing the deceased brother. So really, because he's replacing the deceased brother, you would think, so good, let him receive the Shushvinus that his brother was supposed to receive. But no, since we refer to Yavim as a Bechar, and we know that a Bechar does not collect Bera'ui Kibbe'muchsuk, a Bechar only gets that which his father was already muchsuk in, so too the Yavim only collects that which the brother was already muchsuk in. And Shushvinus is not muchsuk, it's ra'ui. It's something that's coming to him, but it's certainly not something that he has. Therefore, it gets split evenly amongst all the brothers. It does not only go to that one brother who did the Yibum, who's replacing the deceased brother. So that's a major akimta to make in our Mishnah, that the whole case of our Mishnah, when we assume it's Chazeres La'emtza, is where the brother that you were supposed to give it back to died, and the Chiddush is that even though there's a Yavam taking his place, he doesn't really take his place legamri, certainly not legabe this halacha. So says Gemara, Mechal di'idach mishalim, lema tnuli shushvini v'asmachimo. Wait a second. The implication over here is that even when the guy you owe the shushvinus to is dead, you still have to pay the shushvinus. Why? Shouldn't you be able to say, look, bring me the guy to celebrate with and I'll be happy to pay the shushvinus? I mean, the whole idea of shushvinus, I'm supposed to reciprocate at his wedding. So why can't I say, if he had given me shushvinus and now he's dead, why can't I say, look, when I celebrate with him his wedding, I'll give his shushvinus? Other than that, I'm not giving his shushvinus. He's dead. After all, Milo Tani, don't we have a brisa? Makom shnagu lahachzir kiddushin machzirin, makom shnagu shlo lahachzir ein machzirin. That we have a brisa that says that what happens to kiddushay kesef if the couple never gets married? Let's say a guy gives a girl a ring as kiddushin, and then they never end up having nisuin. Does the ring go back or does not go back, right? The minigam makom, I think, is when it comes to engagements, right? People typically on a broken engagement will give back the ring. What about a kiddushin? You gave Kiddusha Kesef, and then they never did Nisuin. Do you give it back or not? So the Braisa says, it depends on Minhag, right? It depends on what the Minhag HaMakom is. V'amar Rav Yosef Baraba, Amar Marukva, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yosef Baraba said the name Marukva, the name of Shmuel, Lo Shanu El Shemei Sahi. That's only true if she's the one that died. Aval meis hu ein machzirin. But if he died, then she does not have to return the ring to his estate. Even if the minig is typically that when it's a broken engagement that they do return the ring, when he died, she does not have to return the ring. My taima yecholi hishatomar, because she could always say tnuli bali vesmachimo. You know, give me my husband, I'll be happy to. I'm ready to get married. Bring him back. I'll be happy to get married. Obviously, they can't bring him back. So, why don't you say the same thing over here about Shoshvinas? Name it, Tnuli Shoshvini Vesmachimo. Why can't we just say, give me my Shoshvinas, I'll be happy to celebrate with my Shoshvin and give him back what I owe him? I'm Rav Yosef. So, Rav Yosef answers, no. Hacha Maeskin Gonsha Samachimo Zaini Memishta Vlohispik Leparacha Mes. You're right. If they never celebrated together, then you'd be right that he can say, I'm not paying back the Shoshvinas to a dead man who I never get to celebrate his wedding. Now the case is, you did celebrate together with him. You already reciprocated the celebration, you just didn't reciprocate the money. And then he died. Before you got the chance to pay him the money, that's when he died. So then you already really owe the money. You already had the opportunity to celebrate with him. So it says the Gemara, okay, now that we mentioned this idea of Tnuli Bali Vesmachimo, and we mentioned that it's a really valid, halachically binding idea, that if the person that you owe to is dead, that you can say, you know what, bring him back and I'll be happy to celebrate with him prior to that, but if not, then I'm not going to give a cent. So Lema, says the Gemara, we'll discuss this idea further, Lema Tnuli Bali Vesmachimo Tanaihi. Maybe that whole issue is a machlokas tanaim. That whole idea of tnuli bali v'smachim is a machlokas tanaim. How so? Titania, we have a brisa. Ma'ari says he should besulah gov masayim v'almanamana. If a person does erisin on a woman, so if she's a besula, she gets 200 zuz as a ksuba. If she's an almana, she gets 100 for her ksuba, even if they never actually had nisuin. Right, if that erisin, they get divorced after erisin or something, it ends after erisin. So she collects her ikra ksuba. There's a machlokas in Maseches Ksubas whether she also collects the Tosefes Ksuba. Right, there's a machlokas in the fifth parak of Maseches Ksubas when a man adds in Tosefes Ksuba. What's going through his mind when he does that? Is he doing it dafka because he's hoping to have nisuin with her, and it's only al das that he does have nisuin with her, and therefore if they never have nisuin, if they never have a chance to consummate the marriage with nisuin, then she's not entitled to the Tosefes? Or do we assume that no, that the Tosefes is it's written into the Ksuba, so tough luck, whether you have nisuin or not, it's something that you have to pay. At first the Gemara in Ksubas assumes that that's in fact a machlokas, whether we follow Umdina in general, that the Umdina is definitely that he only intends to give it to her if they're going to have nisuin. The question is, do we follow Umdina or do we follow facts on the ground, not what we assume is going through his mind? Then the Gemara says everyone agrees we follow Umdina. It's a question of what the Umdina is in that case, but it certainly when it comes to the Ikur Ksuba, the Ikur Ksuba is payable. The husband has to pay the Ikur Ksuba. What about the Kiddushin though? So Makam Shnagul Haqsir Kiddushin, Makzir, Makam Shnagul Shol Haqsir Kiddushin, Ein Makzir, and Div Rabbi Nassan. So Rabbi Nassan says it depends on Minhag. Rabbi Da Nasi Omer, Be'emes Amru, I'll tell you the truth. Makam Shnagul Haqsir Makzir, Makam Shnagul Shol Haqsir, Ein Makzir. That it all depends on Minhag. So Frak the Gemara, what? Rabbi Da Nasi, Ainu Tanakama. The other guy just said that. That was Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Right? That was Rabbi Nassan's Shita, rather. Rabbi Nassan just said it all depends on Minhag. Then Rabbi Yehuda thinks he's going to come in and tell us the Chiddush. And what does he tell us? The same exact thing that Rabbi Nassan already told us. So what are they arguing about? Elolav. It must be we have to add something into this Machlokas. And by adding something into this Machlokas, we're going to see they're actually arguing about whether you could say, Tein li bali vesmachimo. Elolav. Tenu li bali vesmachimo kibenayim. They're arguing about Tnuli Bali Vesmachimo, V'chasur Mechsa V'hachkitani, and this is how to read the Braisa. Hama'aris says, the Isha Besula, Gov Masayim Almana, Mana, if a person is Ma'aris, a woman. If she's a Besula, she's entitled to the 200, those of the Yikr Ksuba, if she's not Mana, she's entitled to 100. Ba'med Var Mamurim Dehadu Be'ihu. That's only if he's the one that backed out of the wedding. Aval Mesa, but if she's the one that died, Makam Shnagul Ha'achzir Makzirin, Makam Shnagul Shalachzir E Makzirin. Then it all depends on minag, whether the minag is to be maksir. V'dafka shemesa hi. And that's only if she dies. Avil mes hu, ain maksirin. But if he dies, it doesn't get returned. The kiddushin doesn't get returned. Why not? Why, if he dies, does the kiddushin not get returned? So we already said the svara. My taima, yecholi hi shetoma, tenuli bali vesmachimo. She could say, look, give me my husband, I'll celebrate with him. I don't want to return this money. I want to keep my ring and have a husband. So if you can bring me my husband back, I'll be happy. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get married. So since she could have such a taina, she gets to keep the kesef kiddushin. That's Rabbi Nassim's shita. Va'as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the Meimer Rabbi Yehuda Nasi comes to add and to say, no, I disagree. Be'emes amru, bein meis hu u'bein meis ahi, makam shnagel lahachzir machzirin, makam shnagel shlo lahachzir, ein machzirin. V'lo matya amru, t'nuli bali ves machimo. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, it doesn't matter who dies, whether he dies or she dies. The kesef kiddushin only goes back if that's where the minig is. If the minig is not to give it back, then you don't give it back. But the point is, if the minig is yes to give it back, you have to give it back no matter what, whether he died or she died. She cannot say, no, I don't want to give it back because he's the one that died. I'm ready to celebrate. He's the one that bailed out on me by dying, right? So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds there's no such taina. If the minig is that you give it back, you give it back. End of story. So you see that this brisa, the machlokas between Rabbi Nassi and Rabbi Yehuda Nassi, is whether you can have such a taina. Answers the Gemara, no, that's not at all the machlokas in this brisa. Lo, the kulei alma, everyone really agrees, yichola shatomar tnuli bali ves machimo. Everyone agrees that the woman has such a taina, she could say, give me my husband, I'll celebrate with him. Udemis hu kulei alma lepligi, and therefore if he dies, there's no machlokas, right? If he dies, everyone's going to say that she gets to keep the kesef kiddushin because she could say, "Tnuli bali vesmachimo, ki pligi shemesehi." Where do they argue? Only if she's the one that died. V'achal b'kiddushin l'tibuin nitnu kamifli. What does that word mean? L'tibuin nitnu? So toveya means to drown. So we're saying over here the argument is whether kiddushin money is given to be drowned. So what does it mean, it's given to be drowned? It means whether it's a permanent gift. The Tibuin Nitnu says, Rosh Bam Shem Tomus V'lo Yiskali Se'ena Yu Avudin V'lo Yachsru Lo. That if she dies and they never get to actually have Nisuin, that money's gone forever. It's never coming back to him. That's what they're really arguing about. Rabbi Nassim Savar Kiddushin Lav L'Tibuin Nitnu. Rabbi Nassim says, nah, not so fast. Kiddushin isn't gone as soon as it leaves your hand. Maybe if she dies, you'll get it back. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Savar Kiddushin L'Tibuin Nitnu. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds that Kiddushin is L'Tibuin Nitnu. That once you give it, it's given. It's gone. Forget it. You've never seen it again. Aye, how can you say you're never going to see it again? V'amakam Shnagel L'Hachzir Machzirin Katani. Everyone agreed, Rabbi Yehuda included, that makam shenagel lahachzir, that when the minig is to return the kiddushin money, you give back the kiddushin money. So how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds that kiddushin is the tibuin nitna, that as soon as you give it, it's gone forever, you're never going to see it again, she never has to return it? Not so. It says beferish in the brisa that you get it back. Hachi kamar, no, this is what it really means to say. We have to add something else into the brisa, and that is visivlonos vaday makam shenagel lahachzir machzirin. That when it comes to the actual kesef kiddushin, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, sorry, once you give it, it's gone, and even if she dies and you don't have nisuin, you're not going to get it back. But when it comes to sivlonos, what are sivlonos? Right, by sivlonos, that all depends on minhagim. So Rashbam tells us what sivlonos are. Sivlonos vaday, says Rashbam, bahum odinalach. That's where I'll agree, Rabbi Yehuda says, dibim minhag atalya milsa, that it's all dependent on minhag. What are they? V'hu takshitim shesholeach larusa solach shekitcha. After a man is mekadesh a woman, he'll often send jewelry and perfumes and stuff to her as a gift. That's sivlonos. Aval kiddushin vada l'tibu nitnu. But sorry, once you gave that kiddushin money, the kiddushin money is gone. So how do we read the brisa where it sounded like Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi were saying the exact same thing? Rabbi Nassan says, makam shnagel lahachzir machzirin, makam shnagel shlo lahachzir machzirin. What did that mean? That was referring to the kesef kiddushin. Then Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, no, I'll tell you the truth. Makam shnagel lahachzir machzirin, makam shnagel shlo lahachzir machzirin. Yes, same words, but it's referring to different money. It's not referring to the kesef kiddushin, it's referring to the sivlanos. When it comes to kesef kiddushin, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is always going to say it's ein machzirin. The hani tanai kani tanai. And this machlokas about whether kiddushin l'tibu nitn or not parallels another machlokas tanaim. The tanya, we have a brisa, kitcha b'kikar. If a man was makadish woman with a kikar of silver. Now, what is a kikar of silver? So Rashbam says, kesef, kikar, kesef, hainu chaf hei mana. That's 25 mana. In other words, 25 mana would be 2,500 zuz. How much do you typically owe for a ksuba? 200 zuz. For an almana, 100 zuz. So basically, you gave her for kiddushe kesef a ring, unlike all rings. This is a ring that's worth way more than a ksuba will ever be worth. Right? It's a ring that's worth an incredible amount of money. So like people give for engagements. So kitcha b'kikar, besula gov masayim v'al mana mana. So besula would collect masayim and almana collects a mana. Divra Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, besula gov masayim v'al mana mana makzeres lo sashar. I mean, Rabbi Meir says, she keeps the ring. She keeps the ring no matter what, plus yor ksuba. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, wait a second. She gets her masayim and her mana, but then she's got to return the change. Meaning if the ring is worth 2,500, she collects her 200 and she gives back 2,300. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, kitcha be'asum nosan ha-shloshim chatzayim. If he was mekadesh her worth 20, so he gives back, he has to give her another 30 halves. Kitcha be'shloshim nosan ha-shloshim chatzayim. The Gemara will explain what in the world Rabbi Yossi is talking about. Right? But let's focus right now at least on Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. Then we understand them right off the bat. Right? Rameir says that if you give this ring that's worth 2,500 zuz, she keeps the ring plus she gets a ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda says no, she collects her ksuba from the value of the ring and returns the change. So b'mayis kinan, what's the case? Ilei m'shem meisa miyus l'ksuba? Well, if she dies first, well then there's no ksuba. The halacha of ksuba is that only if they get divorced or the husband dies first, otherwise it's not collectible. Ve'el shemesu, so it must be that he died. Well then, amay machzeres lo sashar, v'nei matnuli bali v'smachimo. Why should she have to return anything? Everyone agrees to the svar of tnuli bali v'smachimo, that the woman could say, I'm not giving back my kiddushin money, give me my husband, I'll be happy to celebrate with him. He's the one that bailed out on me. Ve'ela must be, so it can't be that he died, it can't be that she died. Right? So what is it? How else can marriage end? Ve'ela be through divorce. Why do people get divorced? So sometimes because someone was mezana. Ve'ela be'eshes Yisrael shezinsa. Shezinsa must be talking about a wife of a regular guy who is mezana. So frekling mara ubimai. What do you mean she was mezana? Ibaratzon, she willingly had znus. Mias l'ksuba. Does she get a ksuba? No, the halacha is that if one party ruins the if the woman ruins the marriage, she's not entitled to her ksuba. She forfeits the right to her ksuba. By going and being mezana beratzon, she ruined the marriage. She becomes aser to her husband. The ela ba'onis must be that, no, she was raped. So mishra shariyaleh. So then, why are they getting divorced? Right? If she was raped, she's allowed to be with her husband. So, after going through all these possibilities of what the case might be, the Gemara finally settles on what the case is. Ve'ela be'ishas kohen shenensa. The case is she's married to a kohen, and she was raped. So it's no fault of her own, but the marriage is over because she's married to a kohen, she's not allowed to go back to him. And what are they arguing about? Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about whether that kiddushin money is irrevocable or whether that kiddushin money is returnable. Rabbi Meir holds, sorry, once you gave the kiddushin money, you're never going to see it again. So you pay your ksuba and have a nice day, you lost the ring. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, not necessarily. Not every time you give kiddushin are you bidding farewell to that ring forever. It could be that it is returnable if you never get to have the nisuin. So that's the Pasha Machlokas. What does Rabbi Yossi hold? Rabbi Yossi said some sort of strange thing about giving odd amounts of money. So Rabbi Yossi misafkale ilu tibu nitnu ilo. Rabbi Yossi is misupuk whether or not it is returnable. And what do you do when you have mamon amutal b'safek, when you're not sure what to do? Halacha is by mamon amutal b'safek. So not halacha b'sumchas holds cholkin, and Rabbi Yossi holds the same. V'hilkach kitcha be'esrim nosun l'shloshim. If he was mekadesh her with esrim, which means, let's see, he was mekadesher with esrim, which means that esrim is 80 zuz, right? Esrim shekel is 80 zuz. So that means that she was owed a ksuba of 200 zuz, plus the 80 zuz of the kiddushin money. All of it is mamon amutal b'safek. So she's supposed to end up with a total of 140. Because if it was supposed to be 280, so mamon amutal b'safek, we give her half of that, she's supposed to end up with 140. How much does she have in hand? She has 80 in hand right now, right? So what does the husband have to give her? Another 60, right? So nosan l'shloshim chatzayin, he gives her another shloshim chatzayin shekel, which is 60 zuz, right? 15 shekel, which is 60 zuz. Kitcha b'shloshim, if he was mekadesh with shloshim, so again, do the math. It works out again. Nosan l'esrim chatzayin. Then he gives her esrim chatzayin, right? To be mashlim, to get to the mamon amutal b'safek issue. Now, mamon amutal b'safek, cholkin, is only according to Simchas, right? The frektosos, the bottom tosos on the page, and Tomar, the lama cholkin, havelay the member mutz mechaver alav reik, didn't come lama namut b'safik rabbanu to Simchas. Why would we say that? Right? Tosos just points out that it's very difficult that the stump of the Gemara is assuming like Simchas. We typically assume throughout Shas that when you have a safik about mamon, hamotzi mechaver alav raya. And what would the halacha be if we said a mitzvah be chaver la faraya in this case? Well, whatever money you gave her for kiddushin, that she gets to keep, and whatever money you didn't give her yet, you don't have to give her. She doesn't have to bring a raya that she's entitled to such money. So that's a little bit strange that we're going to say that that it's chalkin. Amar of Yosef bar Minyomi, Amar of Nachman, b'kol makom shenogel lahachzir machzirin. The wherever the minig is to be machzir, you give it back. V'turgumen arda, and we said, oh, what does that mean? Kol makom shenogel lahachzir. Where is this mysterious place for the nogel lahachzir? It's narda. Shar bavel mai. What about the rest of bavel? Rabbi of Yosef darmit tervayu. Mari hadre, kiddushi lo hadre. The mohar goes back. The kiddushin does not go back. What is the mohar? Says Rashba, mari hadre, shesholech acha kiddushin vehin sivlonos. Mohar is another word for sivlonos. That goes back if the woman dies. Says Rashbam, v'nira be'enai, t'trei gavninenu, mari v'sivlonos. He says, no, I don't think they're exactly the same. I don't think mohar and sivlonos mean the same exact thing. Dogabe sivlonos nami hachi peskin lal kaman gav masnisin, the sivlonos v'trei zimni lamali. Later on, we're going to say explicitly that sivlonos, the halacha by sivlonos, that it goes back. So why would we have to say it twice? Why would you say mari hadri, and then again say sivlonos go back? Right, so it seems repetitive. So it says Rashbam, Yeshlomar demor hu mamun shemakdim la'ata bimei erusin sheikosiv b'ksubasa kishatinasilo lachim mikri mohar. Mohar is the mamun that he's giving her now during the times of erusin that's intended to be included in the ksuba at the time that he marries her. That's why it's called mohar, because mohar kesav yishkol. What does the Torah say? Kim mohar habesulos. And what's the mohar habesulos? It's ksuba, right? Mohar means ksuba. So it's something that gets written into the ksuba. It's not stam sivlonos. Amar Rav Papa hilchsa bein shemesu bein shemesehi v'hadar behu. Whether he dies, whether she dies, or whether he backs out of the wedding, mari hadri kedusha lo hadri. The mar goes back, the kedusha does not go back. But hadra behi, if she backs out of the wedding, afil kedusha nami hadri, then even the kedusha will go back. Amemar kedusha lo hadri gezeira shamiyomar kedusha tofsin bachosa. Amemar says, no, you can never give back the kesef kedusha. You know why? If you give back the kesef kedusha, people will assume they were never married, and people will therefore assume that this guy can marry her sister, and the kedusha will be tofsin, because they're going to assume that he was never married to the first wife. Ravashi Amar Gita Mochiach Alayah. Ravashi says, what do you mean people assume they're never married? She has a get. The fact that she has a get will make everyone realize that they were once married and that this guy cannot go ahead and marry her sister. So Vahad Ravashi Badusi says, yeah, but Ravashi says it's a joke. The fact that she has a get doesn't do anything. Dika Sham Baha, Vlo Sham Baha. Because there are some people that hear half a story. Typically, when you hear things through the grapevine, you hear half a story. So people are going to hear, oh, the Kiddusha money went back, it was an invalid Kiddusha. No one's going to, and those same people will not hear that she has a get. So yes, some people know she has a get, but those aren't the people we're worried about. We're worried about the people that won't know she has a get, but will know that the Kiddushin money went back. And then they're going to assume that the Kiddushin will be tofsin on the sister. So because of that, we don't allow the Kiddushin money to go back. Fine. Shashushvinus nigvus bezdin. The Mishnah said that Shushvinus is collectible in bezdin. Tan Rabbanan, chamishu dvarim nemru b'shushvinus. There are five things said about Shushvinus. Five halachas said about this Shushvinus that's owed. Number one, nigvus bezdin. Number two, chazeres ba'onasa. It gets returned at the right time, meaning you only have to pay back, you only have to reciprocate when the guy who gave you your Shushvinus is getting married. You don't just stop giving back money. When it's his time to get married, so then you go and you give it back. Number three, ein bo mishum ribis. There's no ribis problem. Meaning, if let's say the guy came and celebrated with me at my wedding 11 and a half years ago, and at the time, he brought X amount of money, so, you know, I don't have to go cheshbon out. Okay, what's the, you know, what exactly did he give me? It was this amount of, I could bring whatever I want. I could bring more. I can go. We don't worry that it's ribbis, that I'm paying him back. It's not like a loan where he lent me $100 and paying him back $200. No, I could celebrate with if I'm in a better position in life 11 and a half years later than we were as kids 11 and a half years ago, and I'm able to bring more, and I'm able to enhance the celebration more. So good, gesundheit. There's no ribbis problem. Number four, ein ashvius mishantasa. It was 11 and a half years ago. There were two shmitas that passed since then, right? So I might think, okay, I don't have to pay back anymore. Shemitah cancels the loan? No. Shemitah does not cancel that. It cancels the loan. It does not cancel the Shushvinus. Number five, Veda B'char Notel B'Pishnayim. When it gets paid back to a father, and the father is deceased, and therefore it's going back to his Yarshim, the Shushvinus does not get split in a way where the Bechor gets twice as much as all the other kids. Everyone gets an even amount. So the Gemara is going to explain each of these five halachos. Nigvis b'beis in my time. Why is it collectible in Beis Din? Kamil v'danya, because it's like a loan in that regard, and it's something that you really owe. Ve'im ba mishum ribis, alav adaita, tahachi yavle. And there's no ribis because it's not assume that you have to pay back the same amount. It was always assumed that you'll give back whatever you can give back, that it's not that you have to pay back the same amount. It's just stam. So the main thing you're giving back is celebrating. The main thing you're giving back is your simcha and joining in the simcha. It's not really giving back, it's not so much about the money. The money is a reflection of the joy and the celebration. So there has to be money. But how much, we're not so makbid. Veina shviz mishamtasa, delo karina be lo yigos. And the Shemitah doesn't cancel it out, because Shemitah only cancels loans by which you would normally be pressing the person right around Shemitah time to pay it back, right? Where you have the ability to press the person to pay it back. But if he wasn't getting married at Shemitah, he got married 3 years after Shemitah, so anyway, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to press him. You couldn't pressure him because he had no responsibility to pay it back at that time. So since at that time there was no responsibility to pay it back, so therefore, Shemitah is not going to cancel the loan because there's no lo yigos. Fine. Ve'ena b'char, right, Rashbam says, she'enu yachol adachko b'beizim b'shviyas. You couldn't press him in beizim by Shemitah, shari lo yigiyaz manu at she'isa hu'isha v'yachzolo. Because the zman only comes when he gets married and you have to reciprocate. V'yachzolo az, de'enu nigvis, hello b'beizim, ba'unasak, d'armirim sakz makos. It only gets collected at the right time. Next halacha, veina b'char notel pishnayim, davalei ro'i, veina b'char notel b'roikim muchzuk. Why does the b'char not get pishnayim? So we explain. Because it's ro'i, it's not muchzuk. It's only something that the guy is supposed to get. It's not something that he has, that the father was already muchzuk in, and therefore there's no pishnayim in it. Amrav kahana, klal de shushvinusa. The rule of shushvinus is as follows. Hava b'masa, I'm sorry, before we get to that, Tosfos on the top, Eina Shvius Mishantasa, says Tosfos, Dolokari Be'lo Yigos, Mikano Yemevi Rabbeinu Tam Raya, unbelievable, says Rabbeinu Tam, wait a second, this Gemara is not just telling us a specific din about Shushvinus, this is a rule about Shemitah, that any time the loan could not have been paid back at that time anyway, because it wasn't really owed yet, Shemitah is not going to cancel the loan. So says Rabbeinu Tam, let's extend that a little bit. This is a raya, the kaimelon kalishan basra to parakam de makos, damar vidomar shmuel, hamalves chaveru la eser shanim ein shviz mishamtaso. Let's say in the original deal of the loan, I lend you money for 10 years. So is Shemitah going to cancel that loan? The deal was, you have this money for 10 years, you pay it back 10 years later. So says Rabbeinu Tam, you don't have the right to press him within those 10 years. So if you don't have the right to press him at all within those 10 years, mela, this is going to be, Shemitah is not going to cancel, according to our Gemara. So this Gemara is a raya that malve chaver last shanim, that you're not allowed to press him, that the Shemitah will not cancel the loan. Dachinam mashma halcha dikivin de lo karina beg b'shushvinus lo shayech be'lumei ma d'shvius misham tasa. But then later on, it also says ve'ein yira l'ri raya mikan. Ri says I don't think it's a raya from our Gemara at all. Why? De lo shayech klal shushvinus l'milva shar mikam v'dvarim him chalukim zemizeh. That shushvinus and milva cannot be compared to each other. Two totally separate halachos. Kedemash ma'acha v'hacha hachi perusho. Ein shviyus mishamtasa delokarina ve'lo yigos v'shema li'olam lo yavali de'lo yigos. Over here, the point in our Gemara is not that at the Shemitah year you couldn't press him for the money yet. It's that you don't know if you're ever going to be able to press him for the money. Who knows if you're ever going to get married? And if you do get married, we're going to see soon that it has to be very specific circumstances to be able to demand reciprocation. So who knows that if you're ever going to get married, and if you do get married, who knows if you can get married with all the qualifications necessary in order to be able to demand anything? So you don't know if the money's ever coming to you. That's what our Gemara means to say. Not that you don't have the ability to press him at that time. You may never have the ability to press him. Whereas in the case of a loan, for a 10-year loan, you know, come 10 years, you're going to be able to press him. That's the real chilek. Fine. Another way to say it, Rav Asher Weiss points out in one of his forum that when it comes to a loan, you have to understand there's what we call the money being owed, the actual existence of the chov, and then there's what we call the zechusei gevia, right? The ability to go and collect the chov. Now, it could be that that when it comes to a loan for 10 years, you don't have zechusei gevia, but there's absolutely a chov, right? And there's absolutely a chov that's in place. When it comes to shushvinus, it could be that there's not a chov that's in place. that it's just the reciprocation is not a formal chov in that sense. It's because, after all, even the amount of money is not specific. It's just a feeling of goodwill that you're supposed to, but there's no formal chov in place. So there's no formal chov in place. There's nothing for Shvius to be Mishami. Right? Maybe you could say it that way. Okay, says Gemara Veiter, Amar Rav Kana, Kol de Shushvinusa, the rules of Shushvinusa are as follows. Hava b'masa yibayle the mesa. If you're in town at the time that the guy you owe the Shushvinusa to is getting married, you gotta come. Shama kol tavli yibayle the mesa. If you're within earshot of the celebration, you gotta come. Lo shama kol tavli, you didn't hear the wedding bells ringing, yibayle lo duwe. Now the guy should have sent you an invitation. Right? He should have let you know that he's getting married so that you could reciprocate. Taruma sisli, so you could taina, hey, you didn't send me an invitation, I didn't get to celebrate at the feast. Shlume Mishalim, you can tie in all you want, but you're still going to have to pay the Shushvinas. Va'ad kama, but how much can you deduct from the Shushvinas? Because after all, if it's whatever it is, $70 a head, you know, at the wedding hall, he didn't have to pay for you. So how much can you deduct from the Shushvinas? Amrabai, nagu b'nei ganana ad zuza, ayesa b'kape achle b'karse. We assume that up until the zuza person, up until the zuza of Shushvinas, we assume a person would eat, up until a zuz, we assume a person would eat. So that's what he could deduct from Shushvinas. Adarba Mishalim Palga Mikan Ve'ilich Inish Kichashivusa. If he's Chayiv Dalad Zuzim for Shushvinas, so then you could assume he would eat more, because he's going to bring so much money anyway for Shushvinas. He feels very comfortable eating plenty at the wedding, right? You're giving a big gift. You don't mind having expensive scotch at the bar. You're fine having enjoying yourself at the wedding and having more food if you're bringing a lot. So up until a half, mikan ve'elach, it would all depend on the chashivas of the person. Tan Rabbanan, asimo b'pumbi yubikesh asimo b'tzina. If Reuven celebrated at Shimon's wedding in a very public way, and Shimon says wants to reciprocate to Reuven, but Reuven says, I'm only having a private wedding, he can say, look, I'll come celebrate with you if you have a big fancy wedding like I had. If you're going to have a different kind of wedding and it's just going to be a quiet wedding in the house, then I'm not going to, then I don't have to pay back. He's able to make such a taina. If he celebrated with him when he married a Basula, and now the other guy's marrying an Almana, he could say, sorry, I'm going to reciprocate when you marry a Basula like I married. If the first guy married a second wife, and that's what caused the celebration, then when he reciprocates, he could say, I'm not reciprocating when you're marrying your first wife. I'll reciprocate when you go and you marry your second wife. Now, the Yad Ramah holds that in all the cases, the reciprocation is only when the simcha is equal or greater than the original simcha. But if the simcha is any lesser than the original simcha, you don't have to reciprocate. The Rishonim try to point out that the Yad Ramah is difficult from this line. Why is the second wife a greater simcha than the first wife? Typically we assume the simcha is greatest with the first wife. So the Yad Ramah explains that no, that the simcha is greatest with the first wife in terms of how happy the chassan is with his wife. How much he celebrates with his friends, though, is inversely proportional to how much he celebrates with his wife. Meaning, when he celebrates with his first wife, he's so excited about his wife, he could care less whether his friends were there. He's not focused on his friends, he's focused on his wife. By the time he's celebrating with the second wife, since he's less focused on the wife, he's more focused on who's celebrating with him. Now the issue becomes, the right Yad Ramah says it has nothing to do with whether she's a basula or not. The second wife could be a basula. It has nothing to do with whether Rimi Gash thinks it does depend on whether she's a basula or not. That the first time around when he's marrying a basula, he's also a little bit worried because he's not sure if he's going to be able to break the basula. Second time around he marries a basula, he's going to be very happy and he won't have that the same nervousness because he knows he's already done this before, he'll be able to break the basula. Anyway, Asimo ba'achas ubikesh asimo b'shtayim yachalomelo ba'achas asimach kederek shasisayimi. If he celebrates with him with one wife, and then he wants to reciprocate with two, the guy can say, look, I'll reciprocate when it's one wife, not when it's two. Meaning he wants to reciprocate. He says, okay, give me half the money for each of my wives that I'm going to marry. You can say, no. You celebrated with me and brought me that money for marrying one wife. I'll bring you that money when I can put it all into one wife. You go marry two women, I'm not going to split the money up. Tanu Rabban, Atir Nichsin, Atir Pumbi, Zehu Bal HaGadlos. A guy who's very wealthy and it's very well known about his wealth, that's similar in learning. We're comparing types of wealth, of financial wealth, to types of wealth of knowledge in Torah. So we say someone who's very wealthy in a very public way, that's like the Bal HaGadlos, that's like the darshan that goes around from town to town, and everyone says, ooh, he darshan so nicely. Because Agada is something that everyone could listen to. Right? A Daf Yomi Shir, there will be 3-4 people at. But when Rabbi Frank comes to town and he gives a Shir and Musar and Agada and whatever, so then hundreds of people will come out. That's just the way it's always been that way. Atir Slaim, Atir Tkoa, Zo Bal Pilpul. Someone who has a lot of slaim, a lot of cash, and tekoa, which Rashbam says either means houses or some type of oil, so then that's like a bal pilpul. That's like someone who's able to be mefalpel, to make intellectual gymnastics, because it's in the same sense that it grows. It's the type of learning that constantly expands on itself, right? That's pilpul. So that's a money also invested grows. Atir mashach, atir kamas, zo bal shmuos. If a person has mashach and kamas, something that's measurable, something that's very clearly measurable, that's like the Baal Shmuos. That's like someone who has a Kabbalah of things that are taught to him, a person who knows a lot. Hakol Tzrich L'mari Chatya Gemara. And the Gemara says, you know, everyone needs people who know Gemara, meaning all these other people, the Baalei Drush and the Baalei Agada and the Baalei Pilpul, the ingredients that they need to do Drush and to do Pilpul is Gemara. Right, they can't do pilpul unless someone knows something. Gemara used to be meant that they had a tradition of knowledge. Without that tradition of knowledge, then you can't use intellectual gymnastics on anything. You need some base to work off of. So that's considered the very foundation, the very basics of everything. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow from Amar Rabbi Zeira. Try to catch up.